takes birth on this planet, it's not a seminal birth. He is beyond the modes of material nature. Even when he enters the material realm, he's untouched by the material realm. And then he performs his, all his wonderful pastimes to reclaim the lost souls who are struggling in the material world. And he also performs the pastimes of creation. So when we understand these pastimes, the Leela pastimes, or the pastimes activities to attract the hearts of the devotees, and we also understand his pastimes related to creation of the material world, we are able to understand our own nature. We start wondering, why did the Lord put in so much energy? Oh, he did the creation so that I could come and fulfill my propensities. Oh, who am I? Wait a minute. Oh, I'm spirit soul and part and parcel of Krishna. And I revolted against Krishna. I wanted to have my own place to be a mini controller, proprietor, enjoyer, and that's why I'm here. And that's why Krishna, my loving father, went through the entire energy of performing this creation. Oh, that's my relationship with him. When we see him performing pastimes with his devotees, so then we learn that, oh, I can also have a relationship with Krishna. When we hear about his pastimes, we start wondering, who is Krishna for me? As I was giving you the example of my three or four-year-old nephew, when he started watching the Little Krishna series, and after watching it over and over again so many times, he asks his mother, Mom, what is my relationship with Krishna? Krishna mere kya hai? That's what he says. So when we know and hear about the pastimes of Krishna, we start wondering about our relationship with him. And then once we know our relationship with him, that we are his eternal separated part and parcel. And then we understand what is that relationship. Our duty is to serve him in loving service, in loving service of the Lord and receive his reciprocation. Then we get attracted to activities in the eternal realm. So we read about that, and this is what you get once you understand the divine and mysterious nature of the Lord's appearance and disappearance from this planet and all of his pastimes. So we read about that. We read about how the gross materialists, who can only understand matter, gross matter, they cannot, and because they are engaged with the material energy very, very deeply, it's hard for them to fathom subtle concepts. So for them, the material, the universal form, the material conception of the Lord, it's just a concept is given. So that in that, whatever is there in the material nature is shown in relationship with the universal form, the body, the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So when one sees things like that, then we are able to see, then we see that everything is connected to the Lord, and we took some examples from the second canto. And so that we don't exploit the Lord's energy for our enjoyment. Right. And then we are situated in our true glory. That is the last verse going to be read. When we are able to perform loving service to the Lord, know our relationship with him, know the mysterious nature of the appearance of his past sins, then we are situated in our true glory, and we discuss that the functions of the living entity are dormant within the material body. The living entity is limited by the material body and is not able to fully express itself in loving service to Krishna. Because of the material body and the material nature, or the modes of material nature, we are controlled by all of that. We allow ourselves to be controlled. So now today we will read from text 35 of this chapter. And then it says that thus learned men describe the past tense of the Lord. So text 35. Evam janmani kaimani hi akvartu cha varnayanti sma kavayo veva gukhyani hitmati. Translation. Thus learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the heart. And the purport describes further the same points that we have discussed already in the last few verses. So this is just a conclusion of the section that, oh, therefore, you know, because it's so important, learned men, they continuously only speak about the birth and activities of the Lord and his pastimes. They don't speak about anything else but him. And the text 35 also indicates the Paramatma, as has been explained by Gurujan Prabhu in his book. So we should, last time of Prabhupada said that, last year I just said that, we Shruti is the said that the deathless appears to take birth. The Supreme has nothing to do. But because he is omnipotent, everything is performed by him naturally, as if done automatically. As a matter of fact, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different activities are all confidential, even to the Vedic literatures. Now we see why is it said that the activities, appearance and disappearance is all confidential even to the Vedic literatures. We will understand that thing over the next few months. Yet they are displayed by the Lord to bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls. We should always take advantage of the variations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Dhamma in the most convenient and palatable form. Text 36, and we will go little quickly with that also. Savaidam Vishwamavanila Translation. The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He is the master of the six senses. We are not masters, but he is the master of the six senses. And he is fully omnipotent with six opulences. We don't have all these six opulences, which the Lord has in full. And he creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is even very living, every living being, and is always independent. So this is again talking about the Paramatma feature of the Lord in continuation. So, all the manifested, he's creating everything, but he's untouched by them. He is not affected by them. Like, if we do one thing, just an example. If we do a lot of work, we get tired. Imagine the Lord is doing all this, and the Lord is doing all this. The Lord is creating all of these things, but he is not getting attracted to all of these material things because he is full in himself. He is self-satisfied. He is Atmaram. Right? So, as Prabhupada says, he is transcendental in the next, fourth sentence of the purpose. He is transcendental to all material afflictions because he is filled with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation, and thus he is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them suffering threefold miseries. He maintains them and in due course and highlights them without being the least affected by such actions. So imagine if somebody breaks my house down, I'll be very affected. Even one crown mark on my wall, I'll be very affected. But here, the Lord does anything as a matter of fact. He's connected with this material creation very superficially, as one says odor without being connected with the odorous article. Right? You can smell the flower, but you're not connected to this flower. This example Prabhupada gives also in the Bhagavad Gita. It's in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So non-godly elements therefore can never approach him despite all endeavors. So the Lord is beyond, what is his language? The Lord is beyond matter. Right? So somebody who is non-godly, somebody who is totally materially afflicted, cannot understand the Lord, not understand somebody who is beyond matter. That is the essence of the scripture. Now, does not mean that you are surrounded by material things and now you cannot understand the Lord and therefore let's give up whatever wealth and whatever material things we have. No, that's not the point. The point is we need to become akinchana. What is Kunti Devi saying in her prayer in the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam? We are on the 3rd right now, we'll get to the 8th very soon. Prayers by Queen Kunti and Krishna will. In the temple, we might be able to do prayers by Queen Kunti Seminar for the ladies in one of the weekends. Later on, not now, it will probably be next quarter. But what does Queen Kunti say? Swaham akinchana gochara. You are the property of the materially impoverished. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains what does materially impoverished mean, you know. Being a beggar who doesn't have any penny can be very proud of where he's sitting. Right? Can be very attached to the place where he's sitting. That is not somebody who is materially impoverished. Nor he will look externally so. On the other hand, Mamananda Rai, from Chaitanya Leela 500 years ago, he was the chief minister of Bengal. He was a right-hand man of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He had a huge salary going into hundreds and thousands of gold coins. But he was completely detached from everything that he possessed. And what was the detachment? Detachment was that he used everything that he had in the service of the Lord. He engaged everything in the service of the Lord. And for that matter, Maharaj Ambarish. And we read that example of Maharaj Ambarish in the 9th canto, or is it the 8th? I don't remember. Of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Prabhupada quotes about him in the Bhagavad Gita. That he uses his feet to walk to the temple of the Lord. He uses his eyes to see the form of the Lord. He uses his body to engage in service of the Lord and the devotees. He uses his mind in thinking about the Lord. That's so many thinking. Everything is being used in the service of the Lord. He is Maharaj Ambarish, the king. So, becoming materially impoverished means becoming a kinjana, means being totally detached from our material possessions. How? By engaging everything in the service of the Lord. Because we don't possess anything anyway. So anything, everything is belongs to the Lord. So then what is the point in, you know, becoming proud of our possessions? You know, when a beggar is proud of the penny, at least where you sit here. In India, you have all these big, big pipes. And then beggars and their families will go and make, it's very unfortunate, but just to explain, they'll go and make their homes in those pipes. Huge pipes, concrete pipes. Right? They'll be lying on the road, at least in Bombay, there's too many of those. And then the beggars will try to be given, why did you enter my pipe? And then even when we were reading about this prayers by Queen Kunti, we were discussing the definition of Akinjana, I was sharing a story I heard by His Holiness Radharath Swami. That how when Radharath Swami used to meditate in Rishikesh before he came to Krishna consciousness, before he met to Kakshara Prabhupada, he came to know of many Swamis and many, many yogis over there. So later on, maybe about 5-10 years ago, when he went to meet him and meet those Swamis and yogis, from whom he had acquaintance with, and he was meditating in Rishikesh and Himalayas, and he visited their caves, because Maharaj knew which cave which Swami and Yogi lived, so. But over there, those caves, there was actually in some of the caves, there was a huge gate, and there was a lock. And the lock, and there was a stay order by the Supreme Court. And some of them had stay orders from the High Court. But two Swamis, two Yogis, fought over who the cave belonged to, where the meditation place was. And because of that, then the battle became so big, it had to go to court. Now, is this such a person akinchana? Is such a person materially impoverished? No, they will not be wearing any clothes. They will not be dressed. They will not have all the possessions you have. But internally, they haven't given up that desire for material possessions. So that is not akinchana. Akinchana means to use body, mind, resources, words, everything in service of the Lord. Now, even this, you know, in the like, there are so many false yogis, right? And that is called as Markat Vairagya. A monkey on the trees may look like a renounced person. He doesn't have any clothes. He jumps from one tree to the other. He doesn't have any food to eat. He grabs whatever, you know, fruits he may get. But there are no possessions in the monkey. He looks very renounced, but he's naked, he's not wearing any clothes, but actually he's enjoying with so many female monkeys on that field. And he's not a renounced person. A renounced person who has the person who is situated in the Anandamaya consciousness. He's situated in complete consciousness of the Lord. He knows I am spiritual, part and parcel of Krishna. My duty is to engage everything in myself in the service of the Lord. So that is a renounced person. And such a person can understand the Lord. Now we are not such a person, so what should we do? That will be answered in the next few verses. Nacha Sutat 1.3.37. Nacha Sutat Mipunenagatu Avaiti Jantu Kodanisha Utti Namani Rupani Nanyana Chodhi Antam Vatu Natsucharyam Vivajna. Translation, the fullness of the pure form of knowledge to not know the transcendental nature of the balls, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama, nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their rooms. The foolish, the poor fund of knowledge, cannot know all of these things. Why? Why cannot they know? Because they are lost in their pursuit for material happiness, for material gain. And so they cannot know the Lord. They cannot know individual devotional souls, right? The last few lines, 5.3 is, with such a poor fund of knowledge, there is no access to the real nature of the Supreme Being. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is always in a transcendental position, even when he is within the material world. But ignorant men consider the Lord one of the great personalities of the world, and thus they are misled when they are losing their energy, because the illusory energy will help you do and believe whatever you want to believe. So if you want to believe Krishna is just one of the great persons, he is not God, he is just some superhuman, then the illusory energy will help you believe that. Right? Depending upon what mode you are in, you will have a certain type of belief. So belief is just something, but yeah, it's usually energy, because it's a mark of the energy, it's a protein illusion. Krishna does not want sick people in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna wants people who really want to be with him. They want sick people. If you want to be an illusion, fine, be an illusion. I'll help you. Don't want to be an illusion? Well, come out of illusion, I'll help you. It's our choice, it's our freedom. The text 38 is what we're going to spend the bulk of our time discussing today. Translation. Only those who render unwavering, uninterrupted, favorable service under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Right? So, first it is said that you have to be spotless, you have to be this, if you are materially this thing, if you do not understand the law, it's very difficult and very hard because we are beyond the material nature and here in illusion. But the Bhagavatam is giving us the way. How can we know the Lord? One thing is like hearing and chanting his holy names and pastimes. Right? The mundane meditation of just meditating on some light or some bindu is going to be very difficult. It's not letting you connect to the Lord. When we chant his holy names, when we engage in mantra meditation, then it is helping us connect with the Lord. Right? Everything has to be connected with the Lord. So then you are able to understand the Lord, the Lord's mercy, because you are showing a desire to understand it, so he helps you. Right? And the other way is to render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Very nice, unreserved, without any reservation, without any doubts, uninterrupted. There's still no material interruptions to us with it. Sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't feel like it. No, all these interruptions don't, is not what uninterrupted means. Of course, we are dutiful to our duties, so as we discuss raising children and serving our husbands and taking care of the house, is also service to the Lord. So we should, when we read service, devotional service here, for those who are working, it should also mean the work that you do at work, representing Krishna there, and you're working to please Krishna. For us who are at home, taking care of our children and our home, is a very important, and our husband is a very important service. It's our service based on the kind of bodies that we have received. And also, admirable service in the temple. But none of these, you cannot compromise, oh, I'll go to the temple and do service, or I compromise the raising of my children, or the serving of my husband, like, it's three dharma. You cannot compromise that. So, uninterrupted and favorable. It should be favorable to the Lord. Right? So, one fine day we say that, no, this is, instead of offering ghee lamps, I'm going to offer tea lights because they burn for a longer time. No, our mood is to serve Lord, but it's not favorable. It's not according to Guru Sarishak. It has to be favorable to the Lord
How do you know something is favorable service to the law? By seeing if it is in line with what the temple management wants, what the devotees around us are pleased by. Then you know it is favorable to the law. Joy is to please the devotees in the system, okay? Understand that. I request Shalini Talwar Mataji to please read the purport.
Yes, Mataji. Sorry. Purport. Text 38. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service unto him directly under the direction of his beloved agent are rendering service unto him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees toward the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Fruitive activities and speculations are no qualifications for entering. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. So, the Prabhupada is giving the secret of entering into the kingdom of God, which is loving, constant, loving service to the Lord. What is Lama Samhita say? Videshu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhaktam. Vedeshu durlabham. Durlabham is something which is hard to get. You do not get. So a study of the Vedas, knowing the Vedas, you're not going to achieve the Lord. But the Lord is easily available. Adurlabham. Easily. You know, easily attained by the Atma Bhakta. Devotee who is serving with body, mind and word. So the pure devotee, because of their unalloyed love towards the Lord, they just do everything spontaneously. And they do it very happily. And this makes the Lord happy. And when the Lord is happy, he gives them further knowledge on how to come closer to him. Right? So those who are in constant love, are constantly working for Krishna. So we have to see in our life, in our day-to-day activities, somehow or the other, we connect everything with Krishna. Like yesterday in the exam, yesterday in the Sakhi Sangha meeting, we had a nice Diwali party and we missed a lot of you there in Bellevue. It was fun. So there we were singing the bhajans, Bhajabhakata Vatsala Sri Gaura Hari. We were singing about the Bhoga Arati, singing that. So then we were thinking that, you know, even this activity of going to the grocery shop and buying grocery can be completely Krishnaized. How can we completely connected to Krishna? So because whatever we are cooking at home, we are offering to the Lord. And then we accept his remnants. So whatever we are cooking, we are offering to the Lord. So then whatever grocery we buy, we should, when we are seeing the quality, oh, this apple is nice. It's nice and red. Doesn't have any bad marks. Oh, this is offerable to Krishna. Oh, how nice is that? I will offer this to Krishna. Oh, I'm buying this spinach. All the spinach is good. None of the spinach is wet inside or is rotten or is becoming dark or green. Oh, if I cook something with this, that will be a very nice offering for Krishna. So we change our consciousness. All that is required is change of consciousness, not just change in dress. When we change our consciousness like that, then we connect that particular activity with Lord. Now suppose some of us do exercise every day. Why do we exercise? Not just for a slim body that looks beautiful, good figure, all, you know, whatever dress you wear, you look very nice. But we can make that Krishna is that activity that, no, I am exercising so that my body can remain fit for a longer time for me to be able to engage in the service of the Lord. So we change everything like that from the bodily conception to the spiritual conception, like that. So there was an interesting thing I was reading in the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, and I shared it in the email that I sent out for today's conference call. So it was, so Vidura, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura was insulted by Duryodhana and he leaves house. But he's telling Dhritarashtra, you know, what you're doing is wrong. But Dhritarashtra does not agree with him. And then Duryodhana hears Vidura tell Duryodhana that you're just doing all this because you're attached to your son. Because of attachment to your son, you're doing all these wrong things and all. So Duryodhana gets very insecure. He thinks that if Vidura is associating more with Dhritarashtra, then he will not have Dhritarashtra's support. So basically, Duryodhana crosses all boundaries of good behavior and dharma and he insults Vidura as a dasi putra, one of the servant maid of the house. He calls her so many things. So Vidura gets very insulted and he leaves the place because he thinks that no matter what I tell, Dhritarashtra is not going to listen. So let them do what they like and I'll go ahead on my pilgrimage. So he goes on his pilgrimage. Of course, the inner reason is that Vidura is Yamaraj and he wants to go meet the Lord. He wants to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So that's the inner reason. And that's the inner reason. So anyway, while Vidura is going around like that and then he meets, he discovers that Lord Shri, like later on after the entire this thing, he meets Uddhava. And from Uddhava he comes to know that all the Mahabharata war is over and the Pandavas won, Kauravas lost and then the Yadu dynasty has been wiped out, etc. And then Uddhava is also just had met Lord Shri Krishna and he is feeling separation from Lord Krishna because Lord Krishna has left the planet. So Uddhava receives some instructions from Lord Shri Krishna along with Maitreya Rishi. So Vidura asks Uddhava to repeat all those instructions. So Uddhava tells him, I have a service the Lord has given to me. I have to go and preach in Badrikashram. And so, and also, it's not etiquette for Uddhava to speak in front of a senior person like Maitreya Muni. So he tells Vidura, you know, Maitreya Muni is over there. Go and speak with him because he also heard all the philosophy. So then Vidura goes, after some time, he stays at the bank of one river. Then he goes to meet Maitreya Rishi at the bank of the Ganga. I think it was Ganga only. So then when Vidura goes to meet Maitreya Rishi, he asks him many questions. Please, you know, enlighten me on this, enlighten me on this, enlighten me on this. And he glorifies the process of Krishna Katha in the fifth chapter of the third canto. He glorifies entirely Krishna Katha and he asks so many questions. So one of the things he says is in line with what the last verse that we just read. And he says in text 3.5.4, canto 3, text chapter 5, verse 4, which I have shared in the email that I sent out today. And he says, therefore, O great sage, please give me instruction on the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, so that he who is situated in the heart of everyone can be pleased to impart from within knowledge of the absolute truth in terms of the ancient Vedic principles delivered only to those who are purified by the process of devotional service. So, the emphasis is, we are materially afflicted. We are not akinchana. We are not materially impoverished. We have many desires of bhoga and aishwarya, sense enjoyment and opulence. And what happens for a person who has such desires? What does the Bhagavad Gita say? I think it's text 43. Bhoga aishwarya prasakta naam tayapahrita chetasam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhiyate. So for one whose mind is too attached to material enjoyment, material sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. Now our condition is like that. We may not be like too attached. We're still following some dharma and all, but we still have material desires. We still have desires for sense enjoyment separate from Krishna. We still have desires for other things apart from Krishna. Now, if we are in such a state, then the Bhagavad Gita is telling that determination for devotional service cannot take place. Krishna is saying that. Now, what to do? to do devotional service, we need to be purified. But to purify, we need to do devotional service. So it's a circle. So the point is, therefore, Vidura is asking, please instruct me in devotional service so that I just do it as a matter of duty first. Let me get the instructions from you on how to do bhakti. And let me just do it as a matter of duty. And as I do it as a matter of duty, gradually Lord will be pleased and He will purify me from inside. Gradually. So it's very important to engage in this devotional service to the Lord. And we read in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, what is the devotional service of the Lord? Is basically serve the devotees of the Lord in their service to the Lord. Also, and we serve the devotees of the Lord, we get their mercy, and we get eventually purified. So it's very important to engage in devotional service of the Lord, and so that our hearts can be cleansed, and so that we can understand about the nature of the Lord. Because those principles about the nature of the Lord, that mystery, is the key to the mystery is devotional service. So once we engage in devotional service, in the mystery of everything about the Lord will be revealed to us by the Lord Himself. Because He will be pleased to impart the rest of it. So this is something we all need to focus upon. I would like to take a call of who all are there on the call. So we have Madhuri Thatti Mataji on Skype, and we have Shalini Talwar Mataji and Amutha Mataji on the conference call. Who else has joined? I think I heard one Chandrika. More person join.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Chandrika huh? Here. Chandrika.
Oh, Hare Chandrika, we missed you yesterday so much.
Yeah.
Hope you feel better.
Yeah, yeah. And this is Hetal.
Oh, Hetal Rawal.
Yes.
Your email. Thank you for joining. So, yeah. I don't know if you mentioned somebody else. So this is our Bhagavatam call that we do on Tuesdays, and then on Thursday we are celebrating True Womanhood. That will go on for another 4 or 5 weeks, after which we will do Bhagavatam calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you will get both emails. So thank you, Hetal, for joining. This is your first time.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Yes, it's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining. Who else is there on the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Nisha.
Oh, Hari Bol Nisha. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Anyone else? Is there anything anyone would like to share?
Rupali.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Oh, Rupali Mataji. Hare Krishna. Maybe before we get everyone to share, I got some feedback on Sunday evening from Mangal Gopi Mataji that the timing is not working for many people on the call. And some of you would like the timing to be changed back to what it used to be from 10:30 to 11:30. So my sense was that I asked everyone and I got feedback from some people over email whether it worked or it did not work. And based on the majority, I went ahead with the decision. But I'm willing to change the time if it's not working for all of you. So, how do
yeah,
we do
for
this?
For me, it won't work, Mataji. Either way, weekdays, mine would be just, if I can attend, I'll be able to attend. That's my condition, because I'm working.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I understand. For the working people, it's conditional based on when and how they can attend. But for the others, does 10:30 work better or 11:30? I heard that it's even 10:30 is better for Rupali Mataji as well.
11:30 works for me, Mataji, Nisha.
Okay. So 11:30 works for Nisha. But if we do it 10:30, would it be very hard for you?
Yeah, actually, yeah, slightly. Not slightly, really hard, because 10:30 would be impossible for me.
Okay, I understand. What about the others?
Yeah, Mataji, anything is fine for me, America.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Samutha. 10:30 or 11:30, it's okay for me. Anytime is fine.
Okay.
Mataji, 10:30 for me, but majority is everybody's okay, whatever time, so I'm okay with that, Mataji.
I'm also okay with Mataji.
Once I was just discussing with Kongal Gopi Mataji, I asked her, why don't you come? So she said that I need to pick the Tulsi Gopi and all that. So we were just discussing.
Krishna. I don't know if it has been 2 minutes, but it seems like it was enough time for all of us to think about something.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes.
Is Chandrika Mataji? I'm just like, I found it one thing, like when why I'm doing bhakti or chanting, it is like the first thing is to get rid of my bad karma, which I did in the past time and past lifetime, and to get the uninterrupted happiness and uninterrupted contact with the Lord Krishna. That is the second thing. And this is what I found it, why I'm doing this.
Very good. So now, since your goal is to get uninterrupted contact with Lord Krishna, and you're chanting to get rid of your, to purify, to cleanse the mirror of the heart, now, that's a good thing. So maybe you're connecting with the chanting process. So maybe you can think about how you can improve your chanting process. So maybe there may be some habits around your chanting process that you want to improve. So you can think about that and then share that with us. So, would anyone like to share what they've identified?
Yes. I would like to share. Sorry, go ahead. Is someone else?
Hetan?
Yeah.
Is that Hetan?
Yes. So, my thing I just experienced recently is surrendering to Lord Krishna, and I realize it's very difficult to change the surrounding. But surrendering and leaving your worries to Lord Krishna and connecting to Lord Krishna indirectly helps me so much, because it's like relieving my stress. And I'm not doing for selfish purpose, but I could really experience that we cannot change our surrounding, but things automatically change when we surrender to Krishna. And this is my personal experience, and made me feel much lighter and happier with doing service for Krishna. And I came to conclusion that there is no other mode of happiness besides doing service for Krishna. Thank you.
Very nice. Good realization. Thank you for sharing. Hare Krishna. Anyone else?
Krishna.
I heard a few more voices that wanted to share.
Mataji, I'm speaking from an office desk. So basically, I'm trying to do chanting.
Can you say that again, please? I missed your name.
Yes. I'm saying that. Am I audible?
No, I missed your name. Is it Pooja?
Yes.
Hare Krishna, yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. So basically, I'm doing, I'm doing it for connecting with Krishna, pleasing him, and connecting with that. Having that lovely bond, and basically to becoming Krishna conscious. And more important is, like, because I've taken a vow that I'll do 16 rounds, so, and then I have to keep up my vow to engage in this sweet task, which I do it every day.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing. Hare Krishna. So we have surrender, we have the vow of chanting, wanting to connect with Krishna in both cases. And in terms of Chandrika, so uninterruptedly connected to Krishna, again the same thing, right? Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Nisha.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mataji, I read and I also hear from people who've been chanting regularly about developing this taste for chanting, like that's something that they acquire over a period of time. And I haven't yet experienced it. I really want to know what it is to have the taste for chanting. And I've also read that it differs from person to person. And I somehow want to be motivated to chant, but I don't know how. I want to read more, which I used to, but now with the baby and all that, I'm not able to read more of it. But I'm hoping that along with this practice to chant more, I'll also make somehow the time to read more. And the other thing which I want to do is cut down on this unnecessary speculations which just pop up like that. I want to focus more on a simple living and try to reduce this kind of that pull that what we have towards this material energy around us. And so the answer to all of this is chanting, which is what I want to focus more on.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Mataji. I hope...
Yes, go ahead.
I was saying that I hope from the sessions I attend and from hearing you and from hearing all other experiences, I mean, it feels really happy to hear and know that, you know, people are experiencing that kind of bliss by surrendering themselves to the Lord, which even I want to do. And I believe, I know it. I don't believe, I know that I haven't reached there and I want to reach there. I just leave it to the Lord.
Very nice. Very inspiring. Thank you for sharing. Shalini Parvas?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Mataji, main ye kahungi chanting mujhe bahut achhi lagti hai. Matlab, I really enjoy doing that. I look forward to that. And dusri cheez ye hai ki I think jo aap shlok kehte hain Gita chapter mein se, chapter 4 mein se, wo bahu shaka. I think it's chapter 4 only or chapter 2? I think chapter 4, right?
Chapter 2.
So, wo bahu shakha wala jo kehte hai ki usme resolute purpose nahi aa pata for devotional service. I am kind of that person. It's just my personal thing jo main apne aap ko dekhti hu. Because I have so many desires. I want to do so many things. And then I just get lost. So I think I have to figure something out for that. I am saying figure something out, but it's not easy for me. It's just not easy for me because I'm not able to give up some of my things. So that's the thing.
Yes, yeah, so that purpose is telling here, right? Render service unto him directly under the direction of his beloved agent. So we all have many branched intelligence. We all have our distractions. And we all have many desires to do many things. And on our own, we cannot figure it out because it's hard. No, it is difficult. Because we are trying to do something new in our life now. Not be bahujaka, be single-pointed, focused, intelligent. It's really hard, but here, as Prabhupada is telling, you know, we work under the direction of an authority. So we have Hariviras Prabhu, we have a various spiritual masters, Shakshaguru, Bhikshaguru. So we work, when we work under that authority like that, then it helps us curb the demands of the mind. It helps us put things in focus. And it helps us, or even helping a buddy. Having a buddy helps. I formed a buddy relationship with one Matali, the young Lalita. She, sometimes she joined the call. She is being Mr. Nityananda Prabhu's home. So we decided to talk once a week. And so that is helping me keep the focus on. So we've just done it for 2 weeks now. So, once a week we are talking, just talking with each other for 15 minutes. She's sharing her goals, I'm sharing my goals. But just being fixed in the goals, because then I know that I have a checkpoint and I have a report again next week. So it helps me remain focused. We all are in a state. And, you know, being many branched, being diverted and all that. So we need each other's help. So there is a lot of help around. We can have buddies, we can have gurus, we can have shiksha gurus, we can have friends. We can keep up in check. Help us keep the focus. That's what I have to say. Amrita Mataji, anything?
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So far, I have experienced that I commit offenses when I don't chant properly. So, I try to sit down and chant, but sometimes it doesn't. It somehow, things go crazy around me and then I do things the way I do, I should not be doing it. Recently, this is the thought process that's been going on while I'm chanting. I don't want to chant for the just to finish my rounds, but each round I want to chant for pleasing the Lord, each
okay.
word.
Just 1 minute.
Sure.
Can you all go on mute? Like, because so that we can hear Amutamadhi clearly.
Yeah, recently I've been thinking like I want to chant, take the time to chant and say each word as a somehow it's pleasing to the Lord. Each the syllable of the mantra to be pleasing to the Lord, but I don't know how. I'm hoping one day I will get there. And I want to do also when I'm deal with my kids or my family or anything, I want to do it as a service to the Lord. Somehow I want to please by doing it in a Krishna conscious way, in His consciousness. But I'm struggling also with that. These things also, I want to read Bhagavad Gita, but I'm not doing it apart from the classes I attend or the classes. Only with the classes I do, just for the purpose of homework or something, I do read. But I want to, I have the desire to read, but I'm not, I want to do it. I'm really hoping that also I will accomplish one day. I guess that's about it. One more thing I was thinking is I want to avoid the unnecessary activities that I do, that, and I would like to. I've been asking Krishna, please, I want the desire not to engage in that, in those kind of things. So, Krishna will be pleased and one day He will give the mercy. And with all your blessings, I might be able to do. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. We are very elevated association here. Each one has such wonderful goals. I feel very fortunate to be around all of you. And so much so inspiring to hear from everyone, right? You have such strength on our own goals, maybe hear others having the same goals. Just 1 minute. One more person, Madhuri Mataji, on Skype, you have anything you want to share? Madhuri Mataji. Yes. Okay, a little louder, please. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Well, your goal is to go for Bangalore every day and you're doing that.
Struggling?
Yeah, but you are doing that, so it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little louder? We can't hear you.
My goal is that after the starting point also, I wake up early in the morning, I do my chanting early in the morning. That is my goal. But I don't know. I'll do it or not.
No, you will do it. You will definitely do it and inspire all of us.
I want to do in the morning, Mataji. Because after 8 times, everything comes. All the jobs, cooking and everything. So, mind is not constantly.
And I do like play and all that, so still I'm doing, so
So after last one month, I'm chanting 16 rounds. So like my goal is to chant 16 rounds, but now I'm attaining the Mangalarti also, alternate days. So in that 10 offenses I read, we should chant attentively, right? That is one of the offenses if we chant inattentively. So right now my goal is to chant attentively 16 rounds. And I'm reading something like Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes Bhagavad Gita. So my goal is that to read. First is to chant attentively and to read the Bhagavatam or Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. At least one chapter a day. So that's it, Mataji.
Very nice. You're inspiring.
Yeah, Mataji. And one more thing, Mataji, I was thinking, like, as today you said about the sense gratification and all that. So, like, as we love to do shopping and everything, right? So, like after 1 month, I'm going to India. So, like, from last 1 week, I'm just making the list what I had to buy and all that. Like, all the clothes, jewelry, and as everybody gets them. So, I was discussing with my husband. He said, no, and we'll go to India. We'll just talk to the relatives and everything, whatever we are learning here and everything. So no more shopping. Then I said, no, if I'm doing this shopping, it's for me only, but I'm wearing this Indian clothes and everything. I'm going to the temple, right? So I'm wearing this for the temple only. So my thinking was that, so we understand, right? Is it right?
Okay. No, woman shopping for clothes and jewelry is her birthright. And husbands cannot take that away from us. It's a woman's nature to dress up. And
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. I'm with you on that.
Huh? No, it's a woman's nature. Shastras say that it's a woman's nature to decorate herself beautifully. And it's a service. I mean, basically, we dress up for the husband and for the deities.
Right. Yeah, but for the
some things grow with age also. Now, sense gratification, we are talking about the gross type. As long as you're following the four regulative principles, it's okay to do some shopping and all of these things. I mean, it is not. I'm not saying it's the best thing or, you should, the highest, topmost devotee would not care about these things. You can't artificially curb. You're not outside the regulative principles, and women dressing up and shopping is something that the Shastras also encourage, because the women likes to do that. Like yesterday, we had the Diwali party in Bellevue for the Sakhi Sangha group, and we invited all the other ladies, connected to the temple. Now, I mean, Amuta Mataji was there, and I was there, and Ekta Mataji was there too. So, everyone, it was a ladies' party. And everyone came very beautifully dressed. And we said that, dress up nice, like it's for Diwali and all. And then women were having so much fun doing that. And then we were comparing it with, what would this was an all-men Diwali party. What would they do? They would all dress up in blue, gray, and black and white. And, there's nothing to discuss between them. But then the woman was so happy dressing up, sharing their sari, showing their sari to the others. Not in a egoistic way or a show-off way, but they were just generally happy. So it's a woman's nature to dress up. It's not something you can change. And it's not something you can artificially curb. Yeah, now, how much shopping you do, how much money you spend in your shopping and all, that is an individual decision. You want to cut down from where you are to, you want to be somewhere else. Yeah. But you can't just suddenly curb your desire to dress up and everything, because then it's artificial. So, and it's not a harmful sense gratification. You're not dressing up sensuously to attract other men. You're just dressing up as a woman. We dress up for the husband, we dress up for the deities, and on a side note, we also dress up to show other women. And share, all women like to be dressed up together and take pictures of each other and all. It's a very natural thing to do. It's not something that can be curbed artificially. So don't worry about it too much. And tell your husband that it's my nature. And Prabhupada writes down in the Bhagavatam so many places that a woman must be given her jewels and her, she must decorate herself nicely. Now we all know her doing. Yeah. Now, families would differ. Someone was saying something when I was speaking, and I cut them short. Was it Ethan?
Just said I'm with you on that. That's what I just said.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, but now our consciousness is not overly engrossed in how I'm looking and what I'm wearing and this and that, right? You're not overly engrossed in that. You just dress up. Because it's a festival. Like, you know, even in the Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna was born, right? And then he came to Gokula. And so then Nanda Maharaj had a party, right? It's called Nandutsav. He's celebrating the birth of a child. Now, Rohini was also under the shelter of Nanda Maharaj. Vasudev's wife, Rohini, was under the shelter of Nanda Maharaj. Now, according to the scriptures, a woman should not dress up when she's away from the husband. When the husband is traveling and all that, then the woman does not dress up too much because she does not want to attract the attention of other males, and also she dresses up for the pleasure of the husband. And we as devotees also dress up for the pleasure of the Lord when we go to the temple. But in that, now you know, when I was reading my Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, I read one verse. So Rohini dressed up very nicely and she attended Nandutsav. I was thinking, fine. There was a purport to the verse, I don't remember. I was thinking, you know, why this detail is there of Rohini coming dressed for Nandutsav? And then I was just thinking that I don't understand. And one time I was hearing one lecture and that it was clarified that what is the meaning of this thing. Because everything in Bhagavatam, there are 18,000 shlokas which have been handpicked and put over there. Every shloka has to have a meaning. So in that lecture I heard that, you know, she was under the care of Vasudev, right? And then Vasudev and, she was under the care of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai had given her gifts of ornaments and clothes to wear for Nandotsav. Now, to take care of the pleasure of the devotee, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, she gave up that other principle, that Vedic principle that one should not dress up, but she dressed up and she became part of their celebration and she helped them in their celebration. She became part of their happiness. So that is greater than whether you should dress up or not dress up. Now, there are different contexts than what Rupali Mataji has asked, but it is a woman's nature to dress up. You can't take that away from her. We need our sarees for New Year, Janmashtami, or Purnima, Diwali. We want to dress up and go. There is no other place we dress up and go. And it's also good preaching. You dress up nicely, come to the temple. It's good preaching also. And also some people are like naturally very simple. So that's a different thing altogether. They're happy and satisfied wearing simple sari or simple this thing and not having new things every day. I am not naturally simple. I like to dress up. So it's not outside the realm of the four regulative principles or something. So yeah, don't overdo it. Like some people want new dress every day. Okay, that's overdoing. That's too much. Analyze yourself and see whether you're overdoing it or not, and you know there are some things that the ashram allows us to do, so we should engage in that. I know one lady, she was younger than me, she was in this temple, now not here anymore, we moved to another place, but something happened to her, and one fine day she told me that you should not wear this sari or this sari or that sari and all that. You should only wear cotton. I said, sorry, I cannot only wear cotton. I mean, I have a lot of sarees. What will I do with that? Because I like wearing all those sarees. She said, no, you should only wear cotton. And then next day, I saw she's only wearing cotton and coming to the temple. She's younger than me. She was three or four years younger than me. And she was only wearing cotton and coming to the temples and all that, right? And then cotton has a like very light color, yellow, white, green, color of sandalwood, light pink or light colors. And then, so I was like, fine, you know, she can operate at that level, fine, do it, I can't. So basically she heard some instruction somewhere and she was sincerely trying to follow it, right? I mean, she wasn't trying to show up or anything, she was sincerely trying to follow some instructions, but then later on, after a year or so, I don't know how much time she did it, the next day I saw her wearing sleeveless and shorts. So I was like, no, the desire is there to dress up. So then you know, instead of like fully curbing it and then coming out with a big bang and going completely out of place, going beyond, you know, what is acceptable and not acceptable. It's better to go ahead with whatever, you know, your things are. Otherwise, you repress too much, then it comes out with a bigger bang. It comes out in a very big surprise form that you are also shocked what's going on with me. It's better to know where we stand and go accordingly. Anything other people would want to share on this regard? I mean, I'm not a comprehensive speaker. I mean, I've missed a lot of things. Anyone would like to share anything? All right. So, yeah, it's one more point I wanted to share. It's a good thing that the husband also, it's the husband's job to be rational, as we're discussing in the Celebrating True Womanhood course. So it keeps the woman's emotions in check. So it's a good thing that the husband tells us, hey, don't buy too much and all. It's a good thing. It helps us to be in check. But at the same time, husbands don't understand women. They don't understand we like to dress up. And they don't understand we need compliments. We need to be appreciated for the sari we are wearing. We need help in their selection. They don't understand all those things. So that's it from my side. Hare Krishna. Anything anyone would like to share? All right, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.